Hell yeah. I always wanted to say that in church. That's hell, question mark, yeah, exclamation point. And in the creed today, I want to go back and hopefully over by the time we conclude, this will really be ingrained in us. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. Now, I want you to think about this. There's 18 lines in this creed. 18 lines. 10 of those lines are dedicated to Jesus. There's a reason for that. Now, of those 10 lines, 3 of them are talking about what? Suffering. Crucified. Dead. Buried. Descended. I want you to think about that. A third of what we talk about Jesus, which is over half of the creed, is talking about suffering, crucifixion, death, burial, and descending into hell. It's important. But we need to clarify what we mean by this word, H-E double hockey sticks. The word has really been morphed. It's been diluted. I mean, you might, by the end, that was a hell of a sermon. I don't know. Maybe not. If you're really angry at somebody, you're going to tell them to go there. Why don't we say tonight, when we want to be really nice to somebody, go to heaven! I mean, that could be a whole evangelism program. Why don't we do that? If something stinks to high heaven, it doesn't smell so good to lowest hell. I don't understand. I remember when I had my ordination board, and some of you are going to really understand what I'm saying, but Mac Vickers wanted to know my position on hell. You knew where Mac stood on something, where he was, what his color and face was on the ball. Okay? Got it? And by whether his whole forehead went this way or that way, right? So if he's really happy and giggly, his forehead, his face is like going back, you know. But if he's got something really important to say, right, everything's coming this way. Now, I want you to tell me, do you believe in hell? And they dismiss you, and then they bring you back in. Robbie was there, and they probably, we scared the hell out of him. Matt probably said, we scared the hell into him. But it's not funny. Hell's not funny. That purple ball, that reminded me of weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't think, regardless of how we want to describe what hell is, weeping and gnashing of teeth. Like, I cry a lot. There's a difference between crying and weeping. When you're weeping, it's not good. I'm not even sure what gnashing teeth is, but it doesn't sound good at all. And I don't want to be in a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus says that it's better to gouge out an eye, to live a life maimed of cutting appendages off, than to go to this place that we call hell. Suffered, crucified, dead, buried, descended into hell. In fact, the creed doesn't let us off the hook even there, because it says, and rose again on the third day from the dead. Just to remind you that he died a real death. So what happened on that Saturday? I like to call it Silent Sabbath, right? So we have Good Friday and we have Easter Sunday, right? So Jesus dies on Friday and he rises on Sunday. But what happened on Saturday? So classically, this is the day that we would say that Jesus descended to hell. But what do we mean by this word hell? Where does this come from? Well, as Robbie mentioned earlier, we have the Old Testament Sheol and we have the New Testament Hades. So there's a difference, right? We got heaven, earth, and below the earth. Even like every tongue shall bow, right? Every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. So when we say that Jesus descended to hell, we're not talking about this place of gnashing teeth. But what happened to those patriarchs? What happened to David and Abraham and Moses and all of those people of the Old Testament? They didn't have an opportunity to place their faith in Jesus. They couldn't believe in their heart that Jesus was raised from the dead. So they couldn't confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord. So what do we do with all those people? Now, let me just get this straight. I do believe that God gave them an opportunity and descended to hell and went to talk to those people who were hanging out in the place of the dead. I don't think. Now, the creed says Jesus will come again to judge the living and the dead. I don't think he's going to hell again. So we got to get it right now. Does that make sense? Like, we can't wait for Jesus to go back. Now, he's not going back down there, right? When they crucified him, what did they say? King of the Jews. Well, let me tell you something. They got that wrong. He's not just the king of the Jews. He's the king of the universe. Not just the king of Durham or North Carolina or the United States. He's the king of the universe, of all that is seen and unseen. So where do we get this? So let's take a look at 1 Peter Chapter 3, I don't know why in the world, I don't have many notes in my Bible, but I do have a star right beside this. I don't know why. So verse 18, 1 Peter chapter 3, for Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring you to God. After being put to death in the fleshly realm, but made alive in the spiritual realm. In that state, he also went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison. I'm just going to stop there. When we look at Ephesians, Paul writing to the Ephesians in chapter 4, he says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope. There's only one hope, and it's Jesus. He's the hope of all who seek him. He's the help of all who find. One God, one faith, one Lord, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. Now grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of the Messiah's gift. We've all been gifted to do something. Like, we need to wrestle with that. Like, what has God called us to do? Because he's called us to do something. He ain't just called us. He's called us to do something. When he ascended on high, he took prisoners into captivity. He gave gifts to people. And then Paul writes, but what does he ascended mean except that he descended to the lower parts of the earth? The one who descended is the same as the one who ascended far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. You know, I know God's got a sense of humor because he, I don't know if it's a long straw or a short straw. I don't even know what a straw is now, right? But this is the text that I've been given today, right? Right, to talk about Jesus descending to hell. And all I think about is, you know, we think about Peter and this text. And that one text from 1 Peter chapter 3, that's the go-to text for this idea, this thought, this tenet that Jesus descended to hell. Is hell real? I mean, yeah. I don't think that's a question. But I want you to think about Peter, the author of that text, has some intimate knowledge, right? Peter. And Jesus says, well, who do the people say that I am? And they give him some answers like Jeremiah, Elijah, one of the other prophets, you know, maybe John the Baptist come back to life. And he said, who do you say that I am? And Jesus asked each one of us that question. Who do you say that I am? Am I the Lord of your life? And Peter replies, he goes, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus, blessed are you, for upon this rock I will build my church. And Hades, hell, will not prevail. I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Upon this rock of faith that Peter's able to stand up and say, you are the Son of the living God. And then Jesus goes on and he explains that we're going to Jerusalem, and I will suffer at the hands of the chief priests and the elders and the teachers of the law. I will be crucified, but I will rise on the third day. And Peter says, hell no. I don't think so. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. You have earthly human concerns. You don't understand the deepest mystery. For unless a kernel of wheat goes in the ground and dies, it's just a kernel of wheat. Do not fear anyone who could just kill the body, but the one who can kill the body and the soul. Because we're called to pick up our cross and follow Jesus, which includes most likely suffering. Upon this rock, I will build my church. I'm going to Jerusalem. Peter kind of gets it off. He works it out eventually. We know that. You know, if you build it, he will come. Everybody knows that line from the Field of Dreams, right? Everybody knows that line. And so Ray builds this field, right? And then he has this other voice. This other voice that says, ease his pain. And he wrestles with, what does this ease his pain mean? And he's doing all this research and he's wrestling, and then he realizes he has this really, this hunch, this belief, this faith that, oh my gosh, it's Terrence Mann, this really now reclusive writer who lives in Boston. And he goes all the way from Iowa, travels across the country,
and goes to Boston. And he finds this man, Terrence Mann, this writer who just wants to be left alone. He just wants his privacy. And Ray knocks on the door, and he opens it, and he says, "Who the hell are you?" And he works his way in, and Ray says, "You know, you once wrote there was a time where, like, all these cosmic things click into place, and you can see what's possible." And Terrence Mann says, "You're from the 60s. He says, "Go back to the 60s. And he starts spraying him with this probably insecticide. I don't know. It's probably not healthy. And he slams the door and he says, "Get the hell out of here." And when he slammed the door, it didn't quite shut all the way. And Ray sneaks in there and he sticks his finger in his pocket. And he's like, he's going to kidnap the man. They end up going to a baseball game. And on the scoreboard, it says Moonlight Graham, and it gives the statistics of this particular player. He never got an at-bat. Played one game. Ray's like, "Well, I guess you don't have to be here." So Ray drops Terrence off, and in his old VW bug, he's turning around. It's such a powerful moment in this movie. It's dark, and all of a sudden, those lights swing around, and Terrence Mann is standing right there, and he says, "Moonlight Graham." And Ray gets out of the, he's like, "You saw it. You stinking saw it." He says, "Saw what?" He still doesn't even want to admit. He doesn't want to have the faith that he saw what he saw. And he says, "Did you hear the voice? Go the distance. Go the distance." "Yeah." He says, "Well, what does it mean?" He says, "How the hell should I know? We're going to Minnesota to find Moonlight Graham." And then off they go. And eventually Ray gets back to Iowa and he's reconciled with his father. Jesus has gone the distance for us. Jesus has come down from heaven and descended all the way to hell. For me and for you. And you know, this is my creation right here. And it's got holes all in it, wormholes. And as I was working this piece of persimmon, it dawned on me. The deeper we go, the deeper we go into the self, the darker it can get. The deeper we go into the ugliness of the cross, the more beautiful it becomes. Because Christ has come into the world to save sinners like us. Our lives are full of wormholes. And Christ has come to set us free. He has gone the distance. He redeems our life from the pit. He satisfies our desires with good things. As far as the east is from the west, So far has he removed our transgressions from us. And if you want a different translation, I'll make it up right now. As high as the heavens are to as low as the hell is, he has removed our transgressions. That's the power of the gospel that we're called to go into the world and share. You think about Peter. Get behind me, Satan. He goes from get behind me, Satan, right? He was just the rock upon which I'll build my church. Do we slip and fall? Yeah, we slip and fall. But the deeper we go into the mystery of God Almighty, the deeper we go, the more beautiful it becomes. Because we realize he came for us. He didn't come for himself. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. And for our sake, he was crucified. May the deacons please come forward.